And now let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show. Continuing on with filmmaker Craig Boddicker talking about his movie, A Conversation About Race. We have a few callers on the line. We're going to get to them in just a second, so just sit tight, everybody. Craig, I want to ask you another question very quickly. Could anyone that you interviewed name a public figure that they thought was racist?
No, that's the funny thing. I wasn't 100% consistent in asking that particular question to everyone. But, yeah, everyone I did ask, they really start to stumble with it. And then that's, like, I finally had to suggest one myself just for the sake of trying to get the conversation started.
What would have been your example?
Well, I suggested Jesse Jackson.
Winston, who would you – if Craig interviewed you on the street and said, Winston, can you name a public official that you consider to be racist, who would be some of your examples?
Barack Obama.
I don't guess his name came up, did it, Craig?
No, it didn't. Al Sharpton was curiously absent as well.
And they didn't even name a white elected official that they thought was racist.
No, not one guy, after I shut off the camera when the interview was over, he said, oh, by the way, David Duke. And
it was even a public figure.
Over.
See, David Duke's
Duke.
The only one they ever know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's the guy.
Yeah. I know David Duke. David Duke is a friend of mine. I can tell you he is not a racist. David Duke is not a racist. He is a racialist, which is something very different
right.
from being a racist, if you can pin down a definition of racism.
Well, you
like
know,
everyone, he believes that
even,
race matters, and he discusses it, but in knowing the man personally as well, I would dispute that. But, of course, now that's the knee-jerk. Everyone's going to say David Duke.
Yeah, another way, I would think even Dr. Duke himself would know that that's what people are expected to say of him.
Of course, mm-hmm. of course. Let's go to the phones very quickly. Another short segment here, but I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Lowell. Lowell, are you with us?
Yes, sir. That would be my name.
Good. Good to have you.
Yes, and there's a Lowell, Massachusetts. But anyway, a gentleman, and I do mean gentleman, what I'm hearing here, and I've been listening right from the top of the program to your guest, Craig, is that what I'm finding here is that the truth is truth, and I understand that you're an English major. However, in mathematics, something has to equal something, and I think that racist equals ignorance. And although I've been a victim of it, I still think that I have enough power and intellect to understand that I can withstand that force of it. I will say this, too, is that early in the top of your program is, as I will apologize, I am from the North, and I understand that the North punished the South politically for years, and it was a crime. It was an absolute crime because they punished the men and women of the South and for political reasons, and it was wrong. Let us not fight amongst one another. You know, we used to hear stories back in the 70s, you know, my goodness, when you cross this certain line that you would get caught for a speeding ticket and whatnot. I spent a little time in the deep South. I spent a lot of time in the extreme North. And what I found is that there's one underlying word that comes to my mind, and that's ignorance. It's ignorance because people are afraid of people of the outside. They don't know. And what I'm saying, gentlemen, and I do mean this term, gentlemen, is that the pendulum swings, and what we're looking for is something in the center, and it's difficult. I guess sometimes we feel like we're behind the political punching bag.
Craig, excuse me, Lowell, just sit tight.
Yes,
we've got to take a break. We're not cutting you off. We're going to bring you back right after this.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get funniest looks.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to continue our conversation about race with Craig Boddicker in just a moment, but I want to get back to Lowell and his point right now. And Lowell, I don't know exactly where you're going with this. You can perhaps clarify, but with regards to what you said before, that a lot of times people are inherently opposed to others because they are different. And I don't know if that was directed at us per se, but what I would say is, you know, certainly Southerners, people like us who live in a city like Memphis where whites are a minority, certainly we're better suited to understand the effects of the multicultural experiment than people, say, in the Northwest who live in almost all white areas. I mean, they're more susceptible to buying into the myths of equality than we are, of course. Now and then we're the ones who have to live with it on a daily basis. We're the ones who always get labeled as racist because, you know, we react to it. But what exactly was your point?
Well, Mr. Edwards, I don't want to detract from your guest speaker. What I'm saying is that I too have been subject to that. I live in an area in upstate New York that has been inundated with people from all different areas, primarily the Dominican Republic, so on and so forth. However, what I will say is this, is that although the people that I encounter, although it may be racist, you know, I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak the King's English, although I've been to Africa and all over the world. I don't speak the King's English as well, but I have been discriminated against. So I understand that. However, what I'm saying is that I also understand that my father, who worked construction, who was actually what they would consider a conservative Democrat. I don't even think that there is such a thing anymore. There used to be in the South. Like I said, there's a certain amount of punishment and there's a certain amount of pendulum that happens. And I understand their frustration. I'm frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. And the point I'm trying to make is, as though I understand Mr. Davis's point about the Confederate flag, at least he had the courage to be able to stand up and say that we have the right, and they do have the right to be able to stand up and say and succeed, and I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for the call, Lowell, and I know, Winston, before we get back to Craig, you want to opine on that, but I would just like to say that, you know, again, as a man who lives in a majority black city, no one would wish that the politically correct dogma you know, could be more true than I do. I mean, I wish it was true, but unfortunately, it's just not. And as a Southerner, I can testify that we're still experiencing the horrors of Reconstruction. But Winston, we got to get back to Craig. But I know you wanted to quickly say something.
I wanted to basically mirror what you were saying, James. Our Southern forebears, they wanted segregation precisely because they were fully informed about the Negro nature. If racism is ignorance, then Southerners were the least racist and the least ignorant of all, because we have lived in close proximity to them for centuries, and we know their capabilities, we know their culture, and from that experience, we know that it's better to live separately. It's better to live separately in peace than to live together in bloodshed.
And I'm a real, you know, proponent of the right to free association. If people would like to be closer to that culture, then, you know, it's a free country. But I tell you, if people want to keep it at an arm's length, maybe that should be okay too. And that's the bottom line here. Let's quickly go to Dan in Houston. Dan, do you have a question for Craig Boddicker?
Yeah, terrific show. Say about the blacks being better basketball players. I mean, in the Olympics, the black American Olympian got trounced by the Russian basketball team, which was all white. They were basically pouting like children because they were losing.
Well, and then in boxing, you know, it's sports are replete with, examples of how, you know, even the myth of athletic superiority
on the Reconstruction. My family, we actually go back to the Alamo, on her side of the family. And the battles, we had Russians killed at Vicksburg, some survived, so I wouldn't be here. But the Civil War was over, the Reconstruction, they went around burning crops in the South. They called them Lincoln's men, just burning food. And no one ever knew how many black people or white people starved because of it. But my mother-in-law has written records of stuff that's what they did. In my personal opinion, all these people hated Catholics. And my personal opinion is the Civil War is nothing but a fight between Catholics and Protestants. And so in some of the armies that Abraham Lincoln had hired murderers and rapists from all over Europe to be soldiers, and like they put their green flag right next to stars and stripes and went into battle. Most of them most of them lost their lives, fortunately, because a bunch of drunks and punks Catholics still are, in my opinion. I also hate Catholics, what they've done to me and my son in my lifetime.
Well, Dan, I don't want to get too far off topic.
It's still going on in Catholics and Protestants. Well, that's why the Pope made a public statement. He wants the Catholics. If they're in Mexico, he's coming up here and claiming he can't afford to help them. But they've got way stations in Mexico. The Catholic Pope, but literally the Vatican sends money to Mexico to pay for the guys that are. I don't think the Mexicans. They're starving. They're desperate. We even help them. I even give them handouts. I see them begging on the corner. But the Catholic Church is helping these guys. They give them maps and instructions how to sneak past the border.
Well, I'll agree with you on that, Dan, and thanks for the call. I'll agree with you in so much as the Catholic Church is certainly aiding and abetting the illegal alien invasion of our sovereign republic. Of that, there's no doubt, because they see tithe money there, because Catholicism is the predominant, I guess, denomination down there in Mexico. But anyway, thanks for the call. Getting back with Craig Boddicker, going back to the film now at long last, coming full circle, Craig. In your extensive interviews of the subjects there, Did any of them ever admit that non-whites intimidate whites?
Yeah, that was kind of one of the interesting things that, you know, whites are kind of hesitant to admit that, but blacks will admit. I mean, if you, as long as you get into the right, you know, frame of mind and get them in an honest situation, they'll admit, yeah, they do it, and friends of theirs do it, and they will try to intimidate whites. But it's generally, you know, there's a reason for it, because of reason A, B, or C, because of, you know, past, you know, racism, or any one of these excuses that are just built into this conventional wisdom today, which is to me is almost, it's near delusional.
Well, how did people answer the question? Because I'm so interested in this, and I know you asked so many great provocative questions in this documentary. How do people answer your question when you asked, have you ever been racist?
Well, that's an interesting one, too, because you ask the white people, and for the most part, at first they're going to say, no, they haven't. Then they'll have second thoughts and say, well, I hope not. I pray not. In other words, it's something that you can't even know. I mean, it's such a terrible, rotten thing that you can't even know if you're a racist. You can spend your whole life, you know, just being the multicultural zealot, and you still don't know. You still better go to bed at night just praying that you know, they don't have the cultural commission come and take a look at your life.
Well, if they can't define it, how do they know that they are one or they aren't one?
Just like obscenity, right?
Well, I think all whites are racist, and non-whites cannot be racist, and at least in so much as what the word is supposed to mean.
That is the conventional wisdom, James. That is the conventional wisdom that I've seen. All whites are racist, and they're the only ones who can be.
There you go. Because, you know, and that was even said. I was on CNN once, and one of the people that were there to argue with me, I guess, said that in her studies, she was a PhD, of course, in her studies, she has found that all whites are, in fact, inherently born racist. But if they work really hard at it, perhaps they'll die a little less racist than they were born. And this was, you know, an authority, a so-called authority on the matter.
Well, yeah, and it just goes to show how deeply rooted this delusion is, these believers. And that kind of goes into the, you know, the part that I talked about in the film, at the end of the film, about how I became conditioned myself and the little exercise they gave me in the fifth grade. And it just made me, when I look back as an adult at that, I started thinking, whoa, I just remembered, you know, how these people tricked me into thinking that I was a racist. And I thought, that's child abuse.
Well, it is, and worse than that even. Winston, any thoughts?
Well, before I do ask a question, I do want to remind people that they can find out more about this documentary by going to www.aconversationaboutrace.com. That's all one word, aconversationaboutrace.com. And you can also see excerpts from the film on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and put in A Conversation About Race or Craig Boddicker, and you'll find them. But, Craig, my question is this. It's obvious that whenever there are discussions about race, whenever the race issue comes up, it's obvious that European Americans are getting the dirty end of the stick. And it's also obvious that there is an effort, a concerted effort, to try to propagate that, to try to ingrain it. We have the words of Reverend Peter Johnson of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, who just last year said, "We have allowed white America to escape the guilt of King's assassination." So, with that in mind, what do you think we should be doing about this?
And we got 45 seconds to break, Craig.
All right, 45 seconds. I think that just the use of the collective, when whites have to be responsible for the crime of killing Dr. King, so that we have collective in one sense and the non-collective in the other. How about if blacks are collective for all the crime that they've committed for the last 40 years? Wouldn't that be something?
Let's just put all the cards on the table. If we really are guilty of any of the sins that are attributed to our people, you know, let's own up to them. But let's also let them own up to some of their misgivings and shortcomings.
Imagine that.
It won't happen, of course, because we're the only ones capable of evil, and we're the only ones that can be racist, as we've already established. But nevertheless,
it's something to dream about.
Hey, Winston, break time. We'll be back. Much more to come. With Craig Boddicker, James Edwards, and Winston Smith back with you on the other side.
The mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Woo!
you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi there. The Political Cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
What time is it? Louie Louie time!
And now, let's return to the political cesspool.
Welcome back to the show. Continuing on with an interview that is absolutely riveting tonight with our guest Craig Boddicker, filmmaker of the movie A Conversation About Race, which I hold in my hand right now. If you have a question for Craig Boddicker about why he made the movie, some questions we haven't asked yet, anything on your mind at all with regard to the double standards and hypocrisy that surrounds discussion of racial issues, give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-313-9443. Lines are open. Craig, I know you asked this question as well. Let the audience know how people responded when you posed to them, was America ever a white nation?
Oh, boy, that was a big one. Somebody actually lifted that from the movie and put it on YouTube a little earlier than I planned on releasing that part. I mean, that question was asked 40 minutes into the film, so I had a little time to establish how I was going to get to this. So it came on YouTube. It got something like 60,000 hits. And then they took it off YouTube, and some people said it was objectionable content. Yeah. But I tried to just ask, you know, a very simple, you know, non-offensive question: Was America ever at any time a white nation? And the answer was always no. It was stolen from the Indians, always stolen from the Indians. And if I came back and said, well, what would you say to someone who said every founding citizen of the United States of America was white? Then you see the flailing and the stuttering.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Bob Whitaker, who's been on this program, he was a Reagan administration appointee. And he points out very observantly that, you know, it's perfectly fine within the public consciousness for China to be for the Chinese.
Yep.
You know, Africa, an entire continent, can be for the blacks. And then, Mexico can be for the Mexicans. You name any third world country and it can be for those people that inhabit it now. But all white nations must be for everyone.
That's right. White nations have to be diverse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so it's just, you know, obviously this was a nation founded by and for. Europeans.
And the double-edged sword with that, James, is that the reason people don't want to admit that is because not only does it screw up their whole plan about, you know, we're a multicultural, everybody belongs here, but also once you admit the fact that America was founded by white men, as I say in the film, then also you have to admit the fact that everything wonderful about America's traditions and our Constitution that makes us different from all other countries was developed by white men. It wasn't developed by any multicultural rainbow of people.
You know, and maybe, you know, come on, maybe we have made some mistakes in the past. I can't think of anything that really stands out above and beyond that which you know, we've suffered. But, I mean, certainly, as a collective people, I'm sure there are things we could have done better or more efficiently. But, I mean, come on. Everything that is good about civilization, just about everything that is good, from literature to works of art to law, is something that came from our minds. And,
sure,
you know,
I have to agree.
The bottom line of that is, whatever sins we might have committed is certainly outweighed 100, even 1,000 to 1, by the good that we've done for all of humanity and for all of the races. And that is never something that's discussed.
Absolutely right. And when we talk about the collective, you know, nature again, if we look at, people always want to talk about white collective behavior, but yet those same people just refuse to look at any other race's collective behavior.
Well,
exactly.
I, for one, hold the entire Negro race responsible for what happened to Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom, and for Melissa McLaughlin and all those other horrific kidnappings, rapes, tortures, and murders. But, you know, that's just me. I guess that makes me a racist.
Well, yeah, to do that is a crime, but yet that's what the conventional wisdom says
exactly. That
we're supposed to do to whites. We're supposed to hold all whites to some degree responsible for slavery or for the way the Indians were treated, yet, you know, a lot of us aren't related to anyone who's ever done anything like that.
Well, for all of his bluster about the past, the inauguration, we saw comparison after comparison to slavery or references to slavery and comparison after comparison to Abraham Lincoln. And yet Obama, before his father started having sex with white women in America, he had no connection whatsoever to America or to slavery. His entire connection to slavery is non-existent.
Other than the fact that he's probably related to people who sold the slaves.
Exactly. Yeah. But, Craig, I would like to ask you this. We've been told over and over again that the white race is nothing more than a social construct. In fact, Professor Noel Ignatieff has the race traitor site that says as much, that the white race is a construct that needs to be destroyed. But you say that racism is a construct. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
We've got about 45 seconds again, Craig DeBrow.
Okay, we are conditioned, and so many people in the interviews, when I asked them, you know, are races real? And so many people pondered for a moment before they answered, you know, race is actually a social construct, and this is one of the things that we've got to just try to put an end to. There is no evidence to prove that races aren't real, to prove a negative. Races are real. Show me evidence otherwise.
Sit tight, Craig and Winston. We're going to go to the phones when we come back. 1-800-313-9443 if you want to get on the line. Again, 1-800-313-9443. The political cesspool will return right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Don't forget to check out our official website, ladies and gentlemen, at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. Continuing on for one final segment with filmmaker Craig Boddicker about his movie A Conversation About Race, let's go to the phones to Mary in Chicago.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, okay. I would like to respond, if I could, to the man from Texas who, among other accusations, was saying that the, as I understood him, that the Catholic Church was the main enemy of the Confederacy. That is not the case. I gather that you're calling from Memphis, that you're, you know, that your program is coming from Memphis, and even in Memphis today is Pio Nono Boulevard or Drive. We see it when we go down there. The Confederacy was the only foreign institution or entity at all that allied with the Confederacy. So that would be one evidence that the Confederacy and the Vatican were allied during the Civil War on the side of the South.
Mary?
Pardon me?
Mary, I'll just say this. The opinions of the callers do not necessarily reflect the views of the host of the Political Cesspool.
No. Well, the Confederacy was, as I said, not exactly what the man in Texas presented it to be. That would be one thing. And then the second thing was that the Alamo is a separate case. But
yes.
There again, the given wisdom is not the way it is either. But that would be another call. But I mostly wanted to call about the Confederacy and the Vatican. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's interesting that Mary says that, because I'm getting an email right now. And it was sent before she called in, so it's a couple of people are saying this, and I'll read this quickly, and then we'll go back to the topic at hand. But it's from a listener in Afghanistan who's in the armed forces, and he says, the caller stating that the war for Southern independence was a Catholic North against a Protestant South is not correct. It was secular humanism against traditional Christians of all denominations. It's well known and documented that the Pope at the time, Pope Pius, was one of very few sovereign, one of only a very few sovereign states of the world that recognized the Confederacy and Davis as president. And it goes.
If we're going to say that any denomination was hostile to the Protestant South, it would be the Northeastern Unitarians.
There you go. Anyway, again, neither here nor there with regard to the issue at hand, but thanks, Chris from Afghanistan, and, of course, Mary from Chicago, and everyone else that has called in tonight. Going back to the topic again, a conversation about race. We're with filmmaker Craig Boddicker right now. Craig, just a couple of final questions before we get some more contact information from you. What was the classroom experience that you talked about near the end of the documentary about?
That was the thing that really, one of those almost like a, what do you call it, recalled memory or something like that, where I just kind of remembered one day, and I asked my brother, and he said, yeah, it actually happened to him too. In the fifth grade, there was a group of in the class, the two teachers came up and said we were going to play a game. And it was a word association game. They were going to write a word on the board, and we were all supposed to shout out what the word made us think of. They wrote the word white on the board, and we all threw up a bunch of words, you know, what did white make us think of? It makes you think of clean and honest and pure and things like this. Then he put the next word on the board. The next word was black, and he pronounced it black. And then we had to, you know, what are the words that make black make us think of? And we have scary and dirty and evil. And then the teachers, they're looking at the board, but then they turned around, they look at all his kids, and one teacher says, you're all racist. And we're sitting here just floored. One kid says, hey, I know I'm not a racist. And the teacher says, these are you kids' words, not ours. And we're disgusted by all of you. And we were just floored. My God, we didn't know it all this time. We were racist, my God. And that was when I made my decision in my life that I'll never, ever be racist again. And a little fifth grade kid, you know, and I look back at that and I realize that is a form of child abuse.
That's right out of communist training camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I seriously.
James, could I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Craig, you've received many kind reviews of your documentary, and every one of them well-deserved and accurate.
Thank you. What are
some of the not-so-kind critics saying? What sort of emails do you get in response to this documentary?
Honestly, Winston, I can say I haven't had a lot of bad stuff personally, and the only bad stuff I see are on talk forums where someone would introduce the movie on a talk forum in a chat room or something, and someone would say, oh, that's racist garbage, you know, without ever having seen the film.
You know, that's interesting that you answered that question in such a way, Craig, because I've experienced the exact same thing as the host of this program for the last 4 years. We just got our statistics back, and it was something along the lines of 600,000 downloads of our program during the month of December alone.
Wow.
And this show has you know, obviously taken off to unprecedented levels, and we've received quite a bit of fanfare for having great guests on and tackling taboo subjects. And, of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL relentlessly attack us. But despite it all, you know, I would say, and we get emails all the time and letters, I would say less than 5% are hostile or negative. You know, it's interesting to hear you say the same thing with such an acclaimed film and such a controversial or what would be seen as controversial, you're not getting the negative feedback either.
No, and I've even had affirmed the liberals look at the movie and say, you know what, you make a good point.
I've never heard that from a liberal, but, you know, good for you. They never say that about us. But
yeah, okay, kind of halfway here.
Yeah, well, what do you hope that viewers get out of this? What do you hope that viewers after watching this walk away with?
I think I undertook kind of a large mission. I kind of attacked the whole concept of racism itself. So I guess it was a big mission. But I would hope that next time people hear the word racist or racism, they just kind of back up a little bit and think, you know, what do I mean by that? Because once we have a specific definition of what that word means, then am I responding to an example of that behavior, or am I responding to another kind of racism? Because I find out it's a pretty ill-defined term.
Craig, you've just told us what you hope will come of this documentary and people's response to it. That's what you hope, but what do you see as the future? What do you see in future conversations about race? What do you see happening from now on?
Are you talking about with me making another film?
No, I mean about the issue of race in America.
Well, you know, I don't know. We elected President Obama, this guy sat in a hate church for 23 years and listened to the hatred of whites and hatred of his country. And so, yeah, frankly, I'm very concerned about our future. That you know, we just elected a black Republican. You know, Steele's a good guy, but I mean, we have to elect blacks just to prove we're not racist. I think it's kind of a rigged game.
I disagree with you about Steele. I think he's a bad guy.
I'll say it from a Colorado standpoint. I don't really know too much about him, and the only thing I do know is what the network TV tells me. So I mean, comparing him to some of the other Republicans that I've seen. I thought, well, okay, he's a good guy, but no, I don't know anything about the guy.
Well, there you have it.
what was your most memorable moment in making this documentary? Was it Paul's intimidating forcefulness, or what was your most memorable moment?
I think maybe it might have been Martin. If you remember Martin, the dapper black gentleman who liked to date the white women, said mm-hmm. that he said that white men are actually committing most of the violent crime. And
I fell out of my chair with that one.
Yeah. That's where I had to introduce the rape statistics. But Martin and I almost kind of came to blows, as a matter of fact. But the funny thing was, we were shooting another interview, and out of the corner of my eye, while I'm conducting an interview, I see Martin standing there with a video camera videotaping me.
A pirated video of a video.
Well, so I was trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted. He was taping me because I'm sure he realized that the way he thought the interview was going to go, it didn't go that direction. It went a different way. So he decided to grab a tape recorder from somebody and then grab. So he's got some videotape of me from the side conducting one of my interviews. Good for him.
Bootlegging. Terrible.
Hey, I've got rights to that.
Well, you do.
I tell you, Craig, it's been such a pleasure and a pleasure tonight. Is there anything that you'd like to convey to the audience? And I almost find it hard to imagine that we haven't been able to ask you yet that you'd really like to speak of.
Well, you know, I think you guys just have done such a thorough and such a prepared interview. It's really a pleasure to come on the show. Both of you, very, very kind host. And I like the fact that you took the time and watched the movie. I guess I would say that I don't ask for donations on my website. I just want people to buy the movie. But this was privately financed. And if they want me to make another one, then buy this one.
And again, let's give out that contact information.
That's a conversation about race.com.
Winston, any final parting questions or comments for our esteemed guest tonight before he goes his way? I know we've already kept him a little bit longer than he was scheduled for, so I don't want to take advantage of his generosity.
Well, every year we do a year in review show, and you always ask me, James, if there were any shows that stand out in my mind, and this is definitely one of them. Craig, this was a special pleasure for me. I've long admired this work of yours, and you've done a wonderful thing here, and you are to be commended. I'm certain you are not being properly rewarded for what you've done here. And I want to encourage everybody to go to www.aconversationaboutrace.com and order this movie. It's very good to watch because it's relaxing, it's conversational, it's not confrontational per se, but it's just Craig asking the questions and letting the people talk, and it is truly stunning. So, Craig, my hat's off to you, brother.
Thank you so much, Winston. Thank you, James, as well.
Have a great night, Craig. Always a pleasure.
Thanks again, guys.
Yeah, I tell you what, Winston, I'm looking forward to sharing a cell with Craig one day when we're all arrested for exercising the freedom of speech.
I want to compliment our callers tonight. They were good callers. Some of them a little stranger than others, but you know, Mary in Chicago. Can you imagine that, James? We have a Catholic, a woman Catholic in Chicago listening to our little program.
You know, I've seen Winston the people who make financial contributions to this program, and you'd be absolutely amazed just by judging the last names and the people where they're from, what countries they're from. We really have, in a good way, and I hate to use this word, but a very diverse audience, and I'm thankful for all of them, even the people who hate us, and you know, there's a few of them too.
It's because we get the guests like Craig Boddicker. That was one of the best interviews we've ever done. One of the most fascinating ones.
It was absolutely enthralling, and you know, that's what I think. One of the many things that make this show special is that, you know, yeah, we've got connections with people like Pat Buchanan, household names who come on this program, and we're always glad to have big superstars on the show like Ted Nugent, people like that. If you just go through our guest list, you'll know what I'm talking about. But also people like Craig Boddicker, perhaps someone that folks hadn't heard about before, who's doing great work and needs to have a forum and a venue to promote what he's doing, and here we are. So we'll give you the names you know and the names you should know. But let's go to Corey in Tallahassee. Corey, you're on the air.
Hello.
How's it going tonight? Man, I love Florida.
Yeah, it's all right. A little chilly. It's getting there.
Hey, Corey.
Well, I've been listening earlier to some of the other call-ins, and I'm frankly tired of the apologetic attitude that we have when we discuss race, because I'm very proud of our history.
I am too.
And we've always been a very strong and warlike people. And I don't consider a lot of the things we've done to be a sin, because...
Oh, Corey, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to agree with you there. The things that are being called our sins are being called sins by people who have a different God than us. Mm-hmm. And when a different God says something we've done is a sin, we shouldn't even pay attention to it. So I'm with you there, but please pardon me for interrupting you.
That's fine. I mean, race is a natural competition. It's just part of nature. And if we didn't do it, then they would definitely do it to us. And that's just all there is to it. But because most other people who are not white are on the losing end, they think we have to apologize for it.
Well, you know, we are a great and magnificent people and full of many virtues. But as the Greeks said, all things in moderation, even a virtue when carried to an extreme, can be very damaging. And we've allowed our benevolence and kindness to be used as a sword through our hearts.
Absolutely. I mean, altruism was developed long ago when people were tribes, and it was their kindness was there to help our family. And now we've sort of adopted to use altruism to upon other people who are not our family. And that's very self-destructive.
And unfortunately, Corey, not only is it used to people who are not our family, it's used for only people who are not our family with regard to the American government.
Well, Corey, your point is so perfect. You know, our altruism has been our undoing. We gave the Negro the most precious thing that we had, and that was our religion, our faith. And now they have made that not just a profane thing, just take a look at what goes on in these Negro churches, but they have also turned it into a weapon against us. Our faith, our sacred religion, our scriptures that were handed down to us by our forebears is now a weapon against us. As I said, as I reminded people of earlier, Reverend Peter Johnson of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, we have allowed white America to escape the guilt of King's assassination. We are not, white America is not guilty of it, and this reverend is not a reverend. He is a Satanist, because guilt is a tool of Satan. Any person calling his or herself a reverend and is involved in dispensing guilt is an emissary of Satan, and they have nothing to say to us that we need to hear.
Yeah, and I'll tell you reverend.
Our giving our sacred religion to the Negro is the ultimate example of casting our pearls before swine.
Nope.
Hard words from a hard man.
You are a hard case, Winston. But I'll tell you, someone who would agree with you is the black Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, who I tell you, you know, if you were getting more of that kind of leadership out of the black community, then it might be a different story. And Jesse Lee Peterson's a pretty good guy, and I think he wouldn't disagree with anything that we've said tonight. And thank you very much for the call, Corey. We got about 60 seconds to break, and then we got a final wrap-up segment. But Winston, once again, great show tonight.
This one has been exceptional. Thank you for asking me to co-host tonight. And I want to thank Gaurav, our booking agent, for getting Craig Boddicker on.
Hey, Gaurav, we so often get excited when reflecting upon our guest list and the parade of star-studded names that have made appearances on this program, and about 90% of all of them are attributable to Gaurav up in New York, who does a lot of work behind the scenes that people never know about the production of this program. And that goes for a lot of people who work behind the scenes on this show, including all of our contributors and supporters. Got to take a break, Winston. Our last one for the night. We'll be back to wrap it all up, folks, right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Katahdin Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared. And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
You know, going back to what we were talking about this show, this award-winning radio program, as it were, I guess the bottom line of it is you get brainwashing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, everywhere you look. And there should be at least one radio show on the mainstream airwaves that talks about the double standards of the racial issue. And we're it. Not to say that we're a one-trick pony. We talk about everything, as you well know. All of the issues of importance to our people, we discuss and dissect on this program with the best guest any program could possibly host. But I guess if we have one signature issue, the one that separates us from everybody else is that we're able to talk honestly about the most sensitive and taboo of issues, and your support makes that possible, ladies and gentlemen. So if you like this program, you want to see it continue to grow and endure, please consider giving us a donation, and you can do it online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Well, that being said, as we've already established, another great show tonight. We will be back with you next Saturday night as we head into February. It'll be February 7th. But actually, I won't be here next week. I don't know how the show is going to survive without me. I'm going to be out of town next weekend, but I'll be back on Valentine's Day for a little Valentine's Day program week after next. But no, next week I will be spelled by Winston Smith and Bill Rowland. So, Winston, you and Bill are going to be at the reins next week while I'm out of town. How do you think that's going to go?
Well, I'll just use the words that I know Art Frith would use. It'll probably be one of the best shows in political cesspool history.
We do need Art for a one-liner right about now. That's for sure.
But tell me that's not what he would say.
Yeah, what would he say?
He would say just that. It'll be one of the best shows.
Oh, no,
we've ever had.
No, I've heard him say it so many times. Every time I'm out of town, that's what he says.
that guy, I miss working closely with him. He had to go and move up north, but you know he's in the land of Ernest Hemingway now, so I gotta hand that to him.
Can't do nothing with the chief, but nevertheless, don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be out next week, but it's left in the more than capable hands of Winston and Bill, and I'm looking forward to see what they produce next Saturday night. And if you miss me, you can send me an email. My email address is jamesedwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org. The entire contact information for our hosting staff is at available for you at our website, the official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, that you can catch us here every weeknight from 9 p.m. to midnight on the Republic Broadcasting Network and our affiliate stations nationwide, thanks to the marvels of satellite radio. And our broadcast archives are available on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We got the website to keep you company between our broadcast dates. Other than that, Winston, I think everybody should be set. They just got to remember to live a life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. Winston, I'll give you the final thought. We got 15 seconds.
Good night, everybody. It's been my pleasure to be with you, and it's been my pleasure to be with you too, James.
As always, my friend, and on behalf of the other hosts that weren't here tonight, Winston is here, Bill Rowland and Eddie Miller, good night, everybody. God bless you and keep you. We'll see you next week.
Joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to help keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With recent international flight